Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It's Wednesday morning, May 5th, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM, over the air, of course, here in San Juan County, 103.3 FM if you're listening in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere on Earth from our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. It is streaming live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. We're glad that you are with us this morning as well, everybody, because coming up in the next few moments, I am speaking with Thomas Heuser, the music director of the San Juan Symphony. There is another great symphony concert coming up a week from this Saturday on May the 15th. We'll be talking with Thomas Heuser about that, hearing a bit of a sample of some of the music you'll be hearing and learning more about some of the great composers who make up this concert. That's coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. And then later on this hour on the radio, communications professor Dr. Mike Hadabaugh, we have a best of segment from The Good Doctor today. That is coming up today on KSJE at 8:50 a.m., followed at 9 with Roving with the Arts. And Mick Hess is going to be here at 9:06 after the news. He is playing selections from Shostakovich's 12 Preludes for Piano. You'll hear that coming up today on Roving with the Arts with Mick Hess at 9:06 on KSJE. It's a special 90-minute version, of course, on Wednesdays because it takes us to 10:30 and right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program with Tracy Hales-Vass. And this week, Tracy is speaking with author Patricia Galligan about her latest book, which is called Fire Ghosts. It's about some of the after effects of the Los Conchos fire in New Mexico. So that is coming up today at 10:30 right here on KSJE and right on Four Corners. Of course, we always invite you to connect with us on our social media platforms, in addition to liking our page on Facebook, subscribing to our channel on YouTube, following us on Twitter, and checking us out on Instagram as well. Weather forecast, well, outside right now, it is mostly sunny today with a current temperature of 51 degrees. For more on the weather, I want to go to Rolando Yazzi, our weather intern, who has all the details. Rolando.
Good morning, Scott, and good morning, everybody tuning in right now this morning. That's about partners of prime of the sun and the moon throughout the week and this upcoming weekend. With that, let's take a look at your five-day forecast. For today, warm and sunny with a high of 77. Tonight, mostly clear, low 42. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, then becoming partly cloudy later in the afternoon, high of 84. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, low 54. Friday, mostly sunny and hot with a little breeze, high of 84. Friday night, mostly clear, low near 50. Saturday, in the park, breezy with mostly sunny skies, high of 76. Saturday night, mostly clear as usual, low 45. Sunday, mostly sunny skies, high near 73. And for Sunday night, partly cloudy skies with a low of 46. I'm Rolando Yazzi reporting your five-day outlook at 90.9 KSJE, and happy 505.
Joining me this morning to talk about the next San Juan Symphony concert, Thomas Heuser is here from his home in Durango. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Great to see you and have you on the program. And this will be the fourth major symphony virtual concert of the season, won't it?
That's right. This 35th season of the San Juan Symphony, which we're calling Essential. This is the fourth subscription concert, as you mentioned, the main concert series of this unusual year. And it's been very different, obviously, but I'm just so thrilled with everything we've been able to do. And this concert is no exception. Some wonderful music coming up next weekend.
Very good. Well, and again, as you and I have talked every time, the San Juan Symphony, one of a small number, right, of performing organizations that have been able to keep performing during this very strange and crazy year, much to the delight, I think, of your audiences.
Thank you. Yeah, we hope so. And it's unusual to not have a live audience. It really has been a learning experience for us in performance, especially just not having the reciprocal love from the live audience means that we have to find our inspiration elsewhere, really. And so we've adapted. And as you mentioned, we're able to keep going. It's really been encouraging to see the reaction of all of our online viewers and to note that our audience is bigger than ever, arguably. I mean, we're able to be reaching audiences from coast to coast and really around the world, wherever people can tune in, and on demand, people who can see the concert again after the fact. All of these silver linings really have gotten us through this year. And thanks to the support of our incredible communities, we are able to keep going and start looking to the future and bringing audiences back.
Very good. Well, and again, so the next concert will be a week from Saturday, as we were mentioning, and it is entitled Sweet Simplicity. It'll be premiered at 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time on the 15th. And so talk to us a little bit about the program that you've put together.
Oh, this is going to be really wonderful. So what we've been sort of limited by this year is the size of the orchestra and the instrumentation, namely musicians that can perform in masks and keeping our groups very small, about 15 musicians or less, so that we can have physical distancing while we're playing. So this program, Sweet Simplicity, the fourth of our subscription programs, I feel like we needed a little simplicity, you know, nothing too crazy or complicated right now, but all of these works have an incredibly sort of heartfelt quality and very emotional music, which has been another theme of ours this year. So music of William Grant Still, Claude Debussy, Stacey Garrup, and Benjamin Britten, all works for the string orchestra. These works are, again, very contrasting in their emotional content, but also in the sort of styles of music that we're presenting, focusing on the 20th and 21st century. And again, just having this opportunity to play as a small string orchestra has been incredibly rewarding for us. So much music to unpack here, Scott. Just, you know, go work by work. But the idea of Sweet Simplicity in this Essential season, I think, is going to be wonderful for listeners who are experienced with the concerts, and also first-time listeners as well.
Right, right. And I neglected to say at the beginning of the program, Thomas, I always like to disclose to our audiences that I am a proud board member of the San Juan Symphony. So just so the audience understands my connection to the organization, and hopefully knowing maybe a bit more about the concert and the organization than most radio hosts, but looking forward to it, of course, a week from Saturday. And of course, the selections, as we show on the screen to our viewers, it really does cover a large span of time from the composers that you've selected for this show.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, the quote, oldest composer on there is Claude Debussy, his music from 1904. You know, in our last concert, we had music of Johann Sebastian Bach from the 18th century and some other music from the 18th and 17th century. So this is a relatively contemporary set of music. We also have music of William Grant Still from 1943, Benjamin Britten's Simple Symphony for String Orchestras from 1930s, so all the way up until this music of Stacey Garrup from 2020. So you're right, it's quite a span and sort of relatively a contemporary, but sort of to go in the chronological order here, one of the things that is striking about this program in its, quote, simplicity, when we're talking about simplicity in music, you know, one thing that comes to mind is folk music and folk tunes and traditions of, you know, early musical tropes from certain cultures. And I think that what's really interesting is that this program weaves together a number of different folk styles in that sort of simple vein. It's wonderful to think about the different sort of inspirations for these works and how folk music played in. And actually, when you're listening, you can hear some of the similarities in those folk music idioms, even from different generations and different countries. So sort of to get the ball rolling, we have this music of Claude Debussy. These are the sacred and profane dances for harp and string orchestra. Debussy, of course, a very innovative composer. He was part of the quote impressionist movement, but he didn't like that term. But whatever you want to call it, his music was very innovative and avant-garde for the time, making music more abstract. And so his sacred and profane dances, it were actually written for a kind of harp that is no longer used, a double harp, so-called, that has all the chromatic pitches there on two sets of strings versus the current concert harp that has only one set of string that is tuned chromatically. There's the concert harp and our harp soloist there, Anne Eisfeller, our principal harpist at the San Juan Symphony. So this piece is written for this double harp, and it's played now on just a single harp, which makes it quite technical. You could even play this work on a keyboard instrument, like a keyed harp or piano even. But this is wonderfully lush chromatic music for the harp and strings. And it starts with this kind of plain chant, this folk tune, a very sort of mysterious set of pitches that has a very lyrical quality. And from that little melodic cell grows this more and more complex tapestry of music that Debussy's famous for. He loves his chromaticism and the colors in the music. But what I think is striking is that, again, it's born out of this very basic kind of hymn-like opening statement. The first movement is the sacred dance, which again just sort of means from the heavens, otherworldly, very mysterious. And then the profane dance is that dance that we would dance here on earth. It's kind of a lilting waltz, and it has the feeling of the French gymnopédie that were so famous in the early 20th century, these works by Erik Satie that Debussy knew and loved. So again, this is a fascinating piece of music for its place in history, the instruments for which it was written, and also the wonderful quality of music that Debussy sets up. So from that, you know, we hear a lot of Debussy. We've heard Debussy at the symphony quite a bit. But we move forward, I think, to the music of William Grant Still, just to make a comparison. We jump the Benjamin Britten chronologically, but we want to listen to some of that. But just to unpack a little bit of this music of William Grant Still. This is called Mother and Child. It's a work that was originally for violin and piano from a suite for violin and piano by William Grant Still in 1943. And William Grant Still is considered the dean of African American composers in the United States in the early part of the 20th century. He was born in Mississippi, spent most of his life in Little Rock, Arkansas. Again, to have this season's focus on composers of color and black composers in particular has been wonderful. We've had we've been able to feature the music of black composers on every concert this season, and I think that's an incredibly important piece of the diversity that orchestras are seeing now and need to see more of moving forward. So William Grant Still's music, again, the folk idiom is there. I think this music for Mother and Child, as with all of the different movements of this suite for violin and piano, were inspired by paintings by different artists. And this Mother and Child one is a beautiful representation of a mother holding an infant. And the music is like a lullaby. It has this sort of sweetness, simplicity to it, something that you would want to sing to your infant child. But the sort of romanticism, the expressive qualities of William Grant Still's melodic writing is very much on display. And I think that the simplicity, again, of the music gets back to this folk music aesthetic, and with very Americana styles, which William Grant Still embodied in his career, there is something to be said for the connection with even the Debussy French plain song, this idea of a hymn, of there being sort of the same kind of intervallic content that you would associate with early American music as well as early medieval music. It's a striking comparison. So this is a short work for the string orchestra, again, heavily featuring the violins, given that it was violin music originally, and wonderful to have this particular quality on this program of the simple tunes that are very, very romantic and heartfelt, I think.
Right, and that's going to lead off the concert, is it not? The William Grant Still piece?
That is the first piece on the program, yes, and we go from that right into the Debussy dances. And I think for the listener, again, these comparisons between the melodic qualities, Debussy sounding very French, William Grant Still sounding very American, but still there's a relationship there that has been really fun for us to explore as an orchestra.
Very good. And before we get to the Britten piece that we do want to hear a little bit of, Thomas Heuser, talk to me about the other piece in this, the newest piece, I guess you could say, right?
Yes, thank you. So again, all these works for string orchestra, and you were showing some pictures. We recorded this music at the Rising Stage Event Center in Durango, which was the location of one of our previous recordings. There you can see this beautiful barn with the exposed wood ceiling and the concrete, poured concrete floor. So very resonant space, almost boomy in the way that a cathedral might be. And so it was wonderful for the strings. One of the things that we wanted to feature in this Sweet Simplicity program were these works that had an intense lyricism. And so I've been following the works of Stacy Garup for many years. Stacy is a living composer who lives in the Chicago area. And I met her first at the Cabrillo Festival for Contemporary Music in California. And she's had her music championed by conductors like Maren Alsop at the Baltimore Symphony and others. And so she's got an incredible career going as a freelance composer, which make no mistake for your listeners out there, is not an easy undertaking to be a full-time freelance composer, but she's doing it and she's got some amazing works. So what I realized was that this piece that we're playing, it's called Lo Yiza Goy. It is the a Jewish prayer for peace. And this work of Stacy's was originally for chorus, and it had the original Hebrew text. And it is the text that says, I think we know it from the biblical translation, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. Again, this idea of moving from a warring mentality to a peaceful mentality, and this prayer for peace. And this work of Stacy's was originally, again, for chorus. But in 2020, with the pandemic, what she did was she modified the choral parts for a saxophone choir. There was someone out there in the professional world that Stacy was associated with that was looking for a piece of music for their saxophone ensemble to be able to make one of these video mashups that we've all seen during the pandemic, where everyone records their part individually from home and then they put them together and a digital montage. So she did that for this group of saxophones. You can see it on YouTube. It's a wonderful recording of Lo Yiza Goy of Stacy Garup. And then Robert Baldwin, who directs the University of Utah Philharmonia, actually requested that arrangement be made for string orchestra. So again, another 2020 creation here, adapting a piece for a physically distanceable ensemble that could perform in the time of COVID. And I saw this recording of this string orchestra and thought, wow, this is a perfect addition to this Sweet Simplicity program. And again, it adds another element of folk music. The Jewish folk tradition, of course, is extremely complex and deep, a deep well of musical inspiration there. Stacy does quote a few Jewish folk tunes verbatim, but also just takes that style, as composers do, and as William Grant Still was doing and Debussy is doing, taking that Jewish folk idiom and infusing it into her own original writing. The sort of Jewish cantor in this piece is the solo violist, Our viola player, Corey McBride, will be featured in this performance. And he, you know, the violist sort of states the melody, and then the orchestra kind of takes it and provides some variations. And you go back to the soloist time and time again over the course of this piece, which is very, again, it's romantic, but in a different sense. It has a sentimentality to it that comes from, I think, this idea of the prayer for peace. Beautiful music by Stacey Garup. I hope it's not the only piece we get to play by Stacey. And actually, coming up next week in a pre-concert lecture that will be released on Wednesday, I'll have a chance to talk to Stacey about this work and some of the other things that she's been composing during this pandemic period.
Very exciting. Well, and again, I would say it's probably safe to say that many in the audience may have not have heard this particular piece ever performed before. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, so in this arrangement, we are the second orchestra to perform after the debut at the University of Utah. And so we're very excited about that. It's fresh ink on the page. And even the music of William Grant Still is very much underappreciated and underperformed. I think this mother and child for a string orchestra is not very often performed. William Grant Still is probably best known for his Symphony No. 1, the quote, Afro-American Symphony. Up until 1950, it was probably the most widely respected and performed symphony by any American composer, let alone an African-American. William Grant Still, we could talk about all day. He is legendary for being the first composer of color, African-American, to have his work performed by a major symphony orchestra, to conduct the Los Angeles Philharmonic in the 1930s as a black man. All of these major milestones for the community to be part of this classical music conversation. It's really, he's an important figure, to say the least.
Right. Well, how great for the San Juan Symphony and you and the wonderful, talented musicians to bring this to our audiences here in the Four Corners and worldwide, as you mentioned, because of the virtualness of the concerts these days. So I think it's fantastic that, you know, for folks who maybe have not been exposed to these artists before, they certainly are through the symphony, which is a great thing and a great mission that the symphony has.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott. I do think so. And now more than ever, I think this is an opportunity to really expand the dialogue and include all of these voices alongside the greats, which I guess is where we get to Benjamin Britten.
Benjamin Britten.
Just an absolute genius household name composer. And when we were looking at what works for string orchestra might be appropriate for this beautiful rising stage, his Simple Symphony came to mind. And it gave inspiration for the title, Sweet Simplicity. I don't shy away from simplicity. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think that especially with music, it is so heartfelt and such a great way to connect audiences with our symphony. And as we've explored, there's lots of connections. The music that is necessarily simple, again, it goes back to our sort of folk interests. And Britten is the same here. This piece for string orchestra, the Simple Symphony, it is not simple. Why did he call it simple?
Right.
It's one of the big questions around this piece. It is very technical. It is, you know, it's not as technical as some works for the string orchestra. So, but I would say the title is a little beguiling. One of the things that is obvious for this music is that alliteration was something fun for Benjamin Britten at this point. The Simple Symphony has four movements: boisterous buret, playful pizzicato, sentimental sarabande, frolicsome finale. So he's having fun with this alliterative titling and messaging of this music. And while I think the themes are, again, simple in the way that folk music is simple, he uses them to expand into great musical tapestries. One of the interesting things about this music is that he's quoting himself. Britten wrote this music when he was around 20 years old, and the themes that he features in each movement are themes that he himself wrote between the ages of 8 and 12. So
wow.
Obviously a prodigy, Benjamin Britten, as a young man, was writing music very early. So he quotes these little tiny melodies that just are almost imperceptible parts of the musical fabric. But he, in the score, clearly labels each one and says, I wrote this when I was 10. I wrote this when I was 12, whatever it is. coming from. So again, that quotation in this music is not necessarily folk music, but these sort of childlike, simple tunes that he himself created. And again, the simplicity is maybe more structural than musical. I think the different movements are very clear for the listener, the sort of beginning, middle, and end. How the music evolves is very, very logical. And I think that's the simplicity that we'll hear when we listen to this concert.
Very good. Well, and we will do that in just a minute here. We have the first movement, I think, ready to go, Thomas, so we can maybe play into that and talk a little bit about it after we hear it.
Thank you. That would be wonderful.
All right, here we go. A little bit of Benjamin Britten featured on the upcoming San Juan Symphony Concert. Little sample of Benjamin Britten from the upcoming San Juan Symphony Concert. Sweet Simplicity is the name of the concert. This piece was called the Simple Symphony for String Orchestra. Thomas Heuser is my guest this morning. Didn't sound very simple to me, Thomas, but what do I know?
That's the interesting thing, Scott. I mean, music is never simple.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing simple about it. But again, the simplicity here is, I think, Britten harking back to his youthful melodies that he wrote and writing a piece for string orchestra that wouldn't be unnecessarily daunting, as sometimes they can be.
Right. So. Understood. And so there was a little bit of that. And then the fourth movement, too, you mentioned was something a bit more boisterous as well, right?
Absolutely. Well, boisterous is
the first one.
The first movement there, the boisterous burée. And again, what he's taking is these sort of typical dance forms for string orchestra and really some of these Baroque forms, the burée, sarabande. These are forms that are, again, simple in their recognizability, I guess you would say. And then sort of playing with it and putting his very emotional spin on it. Britten is a great opera composer, became one of the most important composers of opera in the 20th century. His opera Peter Grimes is an absolute milestone. So the third movement in particular, this sentimental sarabande, has this operatic lyricism that almost comes from the mouth of Gustav Mahler, and there are some striking moments throughout. And one of the most famous things, too, that we probably won't play on the radio because it doesn't come across very well, is the second movement is called Playful Pizzicato. It's an entirely pizzicato movement, which is where The bows are not used in the traditional way. The fingers pluck the strings like a guitar. And that is the entire movement. And it's a wonderful effect. Will sound beautiful in our recording at the Rising Stage. But now the frolicsome finale that we want to play. This is, again, very, very energetic music. The speed, of course, varies from recording to recording. We took it at a healthy clip at the San Juan Symphony and can't wait to share. But again, what's embedded in this music is the simplicity of the folk tunes that he was borrowing, his own tunes, and then the idea that it should sound very simple to follow, that you can follow the logic of the music. In this movement, there's a little bit of academic writing. There's a little bit of fuguing that he does, which is where you have the different voices in counterpoint in a very sort of organized way. So there's some of that, but overall, it just has this incredibly upbeat energy in the frolicsome finale.
Let's give a listen. More samples of the upcoming music from the upcoming San Juan Symphony concert. That was a bit of Benjamin Britten's piece there entitled The Simple Symphony. And that one sounded more frolicsome to me, Thomas Heuser. I think he hit that one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such an upbeat piece of music. And that little tune, ya da dee da da dee da lam da dee da dum ba dee da yum bum ba. He wrote that when he was 8 years old, Benjamin Britten, and he quotes himself. It's just amazing to me. You know, we've had some incredible prodigies on this season, but Benjamin Britten really stands out. I felt like he could write absolutely anything perfectly. He has so much beautiful, as we mentioned, vocal music, song cycles. Just exquisite writing. So it's a pleasure to play Benjamin Britten. And again, music from 1934 still sounds very, very fresh today.
Indeed, very much so. Well, this will be presented, of course, virtually. Again, so folks who want to enjoy the San Juan Symphony performances of all of these pieces we've been talking about need to subscribe, right, on the San Juan Symphony website. That's how it's being done this year.
That's right. Very new format for us, but you go to sanjuansymphony.org and you can purchase an annual pass, which will give you access to all the musical content on our website for a year, or you can buy weekly access. The weekly access is $25. Obviously, we think that once you have a sample of it, you're going to be hooked, so you might as well get the full year in advance. But either way, we hope people can tune in. And then once you have that access, you log into the website at the concert time and you can watch it live. I will be presenting it live on May 15th, coming up next weekend, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. And that live presentation will be of the recordings that we made back in April. It was April 18th when we were at the Rising Stage. And so I'll be presenting those videos live. If you can't catch the concert that night, you can watch it on demand. It's available for weeks afterwards. It's a wonderful way for people to, you know, experience the music in their own homes from the comforts of their own surroundings. Very, very low risk experience here this year. And I would just like to say too, Scott, you know, we've talked all year about the fact that our orchestras are smaller, our, you know, audiences are not in person, but the experience of making these recordings and working with Drew Semmel, our videographer at Lumen Arts in Durango, has been extremely rewarding for me, and I think for all of the musicians and audiences that have had a chance to appreciate this. It is just gorgeous cinematography. It's a way to get closer into the action and the intimacy of the performers than ever before. And it's just, it's amazing that Drew's eye for these different camera angles and things has just gotten so wonderful. Here you see all, so I'm so glad you're showing these photos. These are by our executive director, Kathy Myrick, whose eye for the images has also been on full display this year. You know, we are just so fortunate to have all of these creative minds coming together to be producing concerts right now and advertising them and showcasing them to the community over the internet. And we, again, this won't be forever. Our hope is right. to have a semblance of normalcy returning at some point in the future. You have your COVID program, and you probably know much better than me how close or far we are to that goal. I just think that, you know, even despite the pandemic, we have just really created something special at the San Juan Symphony, and I'm very excited to be sharing it with everyone.
Indeed. Well, and this new way of doing it too, Thomas Heuser, and I think has been really well received. And there's a lot of extra benefits that I think the audiences should understand too. You're not just getting these great concerts four times a year, but you're also getting some of the extra things that your musicians have been doing throughout this whole strange year as well, of sharing more beautiful music with your audiences and some of the additional things that subscription affords you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. So we have these individual projects that our musicians have been putting together, sometimes from their homes, sometimes small groups that they were able to gather and make recordings. There are probably 20 recordings of music on the website that are in addition to the four subscription concerts that can still be viewed on demand. So it really is a trove of music. And I think this is going to last. We want our website to continue to offer these experiences, these recordings, and it gives our musicians a voice too, Scott. I think even the folks who haven't been able to participate in some of our ensembles have still provided recordings. They've been making music and keeping up their craft, and we're giving them that, you know, virtual window to do it, and it's been very rewarding. So you're right, you get the four concerts, but you also get all of the individual videos by our musicians.
Very good. Well, again, the symphony concert, Sweet Simplicity, will be presented live, you hosting live next Saturday, May 15th, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. And I know you'll also be doing a more in-depth, as you mentioned, kind of a pre-concert talk. That's next week, Thomas, probably a week from today, next Wednesday, right, with Stacey Garup, you mentioned.
That's right. Yeah. So I'll be giving another thing that's happened with these the pandemic year is that my pre-concert lectures have moved online as well. Again, not a bad way to do it. Reaches a nice big audience, and I can call in guests from around the country. So we'll have composer Stacey Garup joining for part of the conversation from her home in Chicago. And I look forward to, you know, chatting about her music, what this year has been like for her and her compositional career. And, you know, Scott, I think we're releasing these pre-concert talks for free. These are ones that you don't need the subscription to see, both so that we get people interested in the concert content, but we also wanted our educational materials this year to remain free and for there to be this connection that we can provide free of charge. And the other wonderful thing that transpired this week was the concert of the San Juan Symphony Youth Orchestra program. That's our junior orchestra and our youth symphony. They had a concert at the community concert hall in Durango that we created a live stream broadcast of it. And it was, I don't know why I'm doing quotes, because it was really live. This one was actually not pre-recorded. They played for the cameras without anyone in the audience. And we were able to release that for free to the families and audiences as well. So check that out if you haven't already. Again, you can view it on demand through our website or our social media. But just so grateful for all of the different ways we've been able to connect this year and keeping our education programs alive.
Very true. Well, and before we go, real briefly, Thomas Hoizard, for next season, I know you've probably got a lot of ideas running around in your head to present more great music to our audiences here. And, you know, depending on where things stand, as you mentioned, it's kind of a fluid situation. But I know you're chomping at the bit to get back in front of a live audience. But the virtual part may still be a part of next season too, huh?
I think so. Yeah, that's the plan. And so what we are thinking right now is that there will be some kind of hybrid format next year where there are limited audiences available on a concert-by-concert basis, depending on the conditions, and that the digital access will be a feature all season long. It may be something that stays with us forever, Scott. I think right. That would be a good thing. You know, we're reaching a wide audience. So anyways, the hope is that we will have concerts in both Durango and Farmington with limited in-person audiences and also the digital subscription keeping going into the next season. And I have so many ideas. What I want more than anything is to have our musicians who have been on the sidelines, the winds, brass, re-engaged. I would love to get the size of the group on the stage to be bigger. I would love for us to have that experience of having audiences back in the hall and just sort of rebuild the community connections that we want to have back in our lives so badly. So those are my hopes right now. Again, I don't have any dates or repertoire to say at this point. Usually we have it all figured out by this time of year, but we continue to be in sort of a holding pattern with our planning. But like you said, we'll be back. We'll be making music and hopefully connecting with more audiences than ever.
Well, I think that's the important headline of the morning, is that the San Juan Symphony will be back for another season in all different varieties, whether in person, virtually, both, hybrid, as you mentioned. So we're all thrilled about that. And thanks for your leadership, Thomas Hoizard, with that regard. Looking forward to the concert a week from Saturday. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Scott. It's always a pleasure to chat with your listeners.
Thank you, Thomas. That's Thomas Hoizard, music director of the San Juan Symphony, my guest here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.